The messaging app Slack describes itself as team communication for the 21st century and says it brings all the pieces and people you need together so you can actually get things done. The company was valued at $3.8 billion last year and says it has 5 million daily active users. Molly Fisher, who's senior editor for The Cut at New York Magazine, writes that Slack can also bring a new kind of stress to the workplace. She wrote about Slack in the most recent issue of New York Magazine and joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you write that Slack, which was first released in 2013, has essentially ushered employer-sanctioned social media into the workplace. Now, for people who have never used Slack, can you first just describe what it is and how it's used?
Well, Slack is essentially a chat tool. It's if you're familiar with AIM or GChat, you know, you can sort of send direct messages to people you want to talk to. You can also have channels. So your workplace might have like channels set up for different departments or different projects or different teams. And you open Slack. Slack greets you with a friendly message. It says something like, "The day just got better. You're here. Your friends at Slack," as it loads. And then you get a nice little bar with all the people you might want to talk to at your workplace and all the conversations that are happening around you. And you can kind of hop around between them and talk through whatever you might have otherwise discussed over an email or in a meeting.
And you can talk to everyone on the staff, or you can talk to individual people. You can have private conversations.
Yes, exactly.
And is one of the main reasons for Slack just to cut down on the number of email messages going back and forth?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, everyone complains about email all the time. And so the idea of having something that would be an email killer, something that would like make email less burdensome for all of us, is enormously appealing, I think, to a lot of employers and to a lot of employees. The tricky thing, of course, is that any tool, once you come to rely on it and once it becomes a huge presence in your workday, can start to feel onerous in the way that email feels like a burden sometimes now. So the open question is kind of whether Slack will in time become just as burdensome as email feels to some people.
You know, one of the things that you write about is that because coworkers can communicate with each other privately on Slack, that employees at Gawker used Slack to talk about whether to unionize. And they did unionize.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it was a big part of how they came to that decision and how that kind of unfolded for that group of coworkers. And one of a former Gawker employee described to me how, on one hand, you had these sort of big, like almost voter guide type chats that were happening in channels that pretty much everyone could view, where people walked through the pros and cons. And then you had sort of heated debates that happened in private channels and in DMs, where people were revealing their opinions and how they really were thinking about this stuff and how they felt. And this employee was describing being really surprised by some of the things people were willing to say and the sort of opinions that people were willing to air, and feeling like, you know, there was a willingness to be more direct and aggressive and intense than perhaps they would have been in a face-to-face conversation.
Are those conversations secret from the management? Or if you get Slack at your company, does the manager have the ability to look at all the conversations?
Well, it depends. They don't have the ability to like read your Slacks in real time or anything like that. But depending on the subscription plan that they are paying for, they may be able to request an export of all the Slacks that have been exchanged at your company. So they can kind of request that full record, which is a tool for industries like finance that need legally to have full records of their communications. So Slack will provide that option if you're paying for it, but it's not typically part of the package.
So how did you find that people feel about Slack at this point? I mean, it seems like there's already, even though it's relatively new, there's already a little bit of concern that it's annoying, that it's another layer of communication that maybe we don't need. But at the same time, people are adopting it.
I think people have at this point already kind of a love-hate relationship with Slack. I think I hate to say this because it sounds corny, it can be really fun. Like it feels good to be engaged with your colleagues moment to moment, you know, talking through the things that you're interested in or complaining about the things that are annoying you. But it does also feel like it's a constant barrage of notifications. But, you know, I think if you work in an office that relies on Slack, it's easy to feel like you're not really participating in your workplace if you're not sort of present on Slack. If you seem like you're absent, you feel sometimes like you're a slacker in the not branded sense of the term.
Well, that brings up the question of why they named it Slack, that I'm slacking at work. That doesn't sound good.
They arrived at the name, they liked the name, and then after having established the name Slack and finding that they needed to explain why they had a workplace chat tool that was called Slack, they came up with the acronym Searchable Log of All Communications and Knowledge, which Slack, of course, is an acronym for.
Oh, it's always funny to come up with the name first and then figure out the acronym later.
In this case, it worked out well.
That's Molly Fisher, a senior editor for The Cut at New York Magazine. Her article, What Happens When Work Becomes a Nonstop Chat Room, is in the new issue, and we'll link you to it at hereandnow.org. Molly, thanks.
Thank you very much.